Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Tamara Aiton, a physiotherapist for pelvic health in the Belfast Trust. Today, Tamara is going to tell us a wee bit about her job and what that involves. But before we get into that, Tamara, tell us a wee bit about your background or your influences or your hobbies or what made you sort of go in the direction of physiotherapy.
Okay, Paul. Well, originally I was from Hollywood, from a small working class family. I enjoyed hockey at school and mathematics, and I loved 80s music and still do. I liked the idea of being a physiotherapist as a career because you were helping people, and a lot of us at that stage thought it was physiotherapy was all about sports physio. So that was the real appeal, although in hindsight, that there's very few physios ever specialise in sports. Mm-hmm. I went to University of Ulster, Jordanstown, to train, and I lived at home during that time and worked in a local care home. So I didn't get the uni experience that some people get by living away from home. Mm-hmm. But in a way, I'm glad. Reflecting on that, I'm glad because I lost my dad when he was 52 during that time at university. Mm-hmm. I was glad to be at home to give support to the family, and it's really taught me the 52, because I'm approaching that age myself. Mm-hmm. And I sort of think, goodness, it's such a young age. So I'm doing physio for my dad as well, because he would have been very proud. He was delighted that I got into uni and stuff, so really for him. Mm-hmm. And then during my career or my time at university, I'd met my husband then, and we've been married 26 years. I have two sons.
Congratulations.
So there's lots of men in my life that have sort of influenced me. Mm-hmm. Along the way.
Yes, and I mean, talking of 52, like yourself, I'll be 52 next month, and I still view myself as a pup. I'm still a young man, and it's a very young age. And yeah. Who is your favourite pop group then from the 1980s?
Oh, good mixture. I'm going to see Queen in May, so I'd probably say them, but I also like Erasure and Prince and lots of different ones.
There's plenty of scope there.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us a wee bit about pelvic health, if you want, in relation to physiotherapy, and maybe a wee bit about the patient's journey when they would, you know, first come to see you.
Okay, so initially in physiotherapy as a junior, you rotate around different specialties. So you might be in ICU or a ward environment. You might be in fractures or in outpatients. And very quickly, I decided outpatients was my thing because it was more routine and structure to the day. Mm-hmm. And when I took a senior post in Ligon Valley, I was approached to help out within pelvic health. And at that stage, it wasn't called pelvic health. It was obs and gynae, because you treated women who were antenatal, postnatal, or women with gynae problems, specifically bladder problems. And it wasn't sort of the in area to be involved in, but mm-hmm. they sort of plucked some people out that they thought might be good within that field. So I did that for a time on a temporary basis, and then I got a job in that area, and I loved it, really loved it. And it makes such a difference to all the patients. And what we found was, over the years, you were getting the odd man referred in. Mm-hmm. Now, usually the referral was from the GP, maybe saying, look, I'm not quite sure if you see men, but I know you see women, but is there anything you can do to help this gentleman with his bladder, whatever it may be? Mm-hmm. So we very quickly changed our name from Obs and Gynae to Women's and Men's and Men's Health, to make it more inclusive. Mm-hmm. And then as the years have gone on, we have now become more known as pelvic health, because it is more inclusive. It includes men and women of all different ages, and it incorporates everything that can go wrong within the pelvis. So it can be bladder problems, it could be bowel problems, it could be sexual dysfunction or problems with pain in around that region. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more inclusive, yeah. A term. Mm-hmm. And within pelvic health, again, the numbers were low, and we sort of thought, well, why is this? You know, why do we not see? Maybe we're not highlighting that we can treat these patients. So around 2014, 2015, one of my colleagues that works in the cancer centre was very aware of this situation. She said, even within male oncology that and male cancer patients, that why wasn't I involved? Because a lot of those men experienced bladder and bowel problems after their treatment.
Yes.
So she happened to be at a very chance meeting one evening, and someone from prostate cancer was sitting beside her at the table, and she gave the elevator speech as to what she thought within physiotherapy and this sort of inequitable service. And from that, he was able to say that they had some funding to for pilot schemes for nurses to be involved in prostate cancer. So he said, look, there's no reason why we couldn't get a physio involved in that. So we put a proposal together, and we were funded for an 18-month period of time to do physiotherapy with that sort of cohort of patients.
Mm-hmm.
And that went so well that Macmillan then took on the funding for that for another few years after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has been so successful that we now have a full-time position within that role of prostate cancer that I involved with the pre-op assessment clinics, and also would see referrals from patients sent in from post-radiation treatment mm-hmm. and brachy treatment. But besides that, we would also treat bowel patients and pelvic pain patients. So over the years, with doing other audits within work, we have got our name out there, and the consultants and the GPs have noticed the success we've had. So we've had more and more men referred in over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone is referred in for pelvic health problems, which could be bladder issues, so it
yes.
could be that they're not able to empty their bladder properly, or they could be running to the loo more than normal. And
mm-hmm.
It could be incontinence, where they're losing the control of their bladder and having leakage before yep. they get to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or for some, it could be bowel issues. It could be constipation, which is a very common problem among men.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that, or it could be leakage of bowels. Or it could be pain down in that region, or it could be problems with erectile dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the sort of pelvic health issues that we're talking about.
Yes.
And men traditionally are very embarrassed to go and speak to their GP, or in fact speak to anyone about that, their friends, their partner, their family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nearly seen as a failure or an embarrassment to talk about these sort of issues.
Well, to tell you the truth, I knew nothing about pelvic health. Now, I'm absolutely on a learning curve as we sit here and you're chatting to me. I'm learning because this is completely new to me.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it is for a lot of men. So
yeah.
when they come in to see me, now, usually we have a good sort of hour-long assessment. So when patients are referred in, I take that time to get to know the men. We do an assessment. So we're asking lots of questions to gain a good full picture of what's going on with their health, pelvic health. I have a pelvic model, which is fantastic, a 3D model that pulls apart. And it means that I can talk them through what's normal, because a lot of people don't actually realise, well, what's normal?
Yeah.
You know, so until you know what's normal, you don't always understand your own condition. So that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then with their consent, if we need to do any examinations, and that could be a scan, that could be an internal examination. And I know when I say that phrase,
yeah.
internal examination,
mm-hmm.
people sort of clench yeah. their bum cheeks and think,
it's true.
He ain't coming near me. But in actual fact, you know,
yeah.
when you build that rapport and you have that chat, and mm-hmm. men really, actually, I can glean so much from those examinations
mm-hmm.
to find out how their bladder or bowel or their pelvic floor muscles, and those are the muscles down below, how they actually function.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I can't do anything without anyone's consent, but it really does add to the whole assessment
mm-hmm.
and it allows me to adapt my treatment accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So then once we've gone through that assessment, we've chatted through things, we give lots of advice, and then men continue to attend. Sometimes with COVID now, it can be telephone consultations, but other times we bring men in for face-to-face, and that could involve lots of advice. It could involve doing exercises, both for back curve, for pelvic curve, be it strengthening or stretching, and it could be working at the pelvic floor muscles down below to get them functioning to the best of their ability.
That's pelvic health. And I suppose that, as I'm on a learning curve now, I'm thinking prevention. Is there anything that we men can do to prevent some of these problems?
Most definitely. And I think, you know, prevention is always better than cure. Once you have a dysfunction or a condition, it's sometimes difficult to always cure that completely. Mm-hmm. So it's all about starting now, before you have problems, think about, well, what can I do to help myself? So the first thing is physical activity. Mm-hmm. It is so important to keep physically active. It's good for the mind and the mental health, but it's also good for your physical fitness. And men recover better from different, you know, if they need surgeries or different treatments. If you're fitter and more active, you tend to recover and cope better with treatments and cope better and recover better. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing I would say. I'd be encouraging everyone to do physical activity. And that doesn't mean necessarily paying big money or going to the gym. That can just be increasing your step count every day, trying to go back and do something that you haven't done in a while, something that you really enjoyed. It could be doing some gentle exercises within the house, or it could be going out for a good walk or getting involved with a group or a friend or your pet or, you know, something like that. Just getting out and doing something and doing a bit more than what you normally do. Mm-hmm. So sitting less and moving more. Mm-hmm. The second thing is thinking of your diet and fluids. So I'd mentioned earlier about constipation can be a big problem. So it's important mm-hmm. to have a good balanced diet. Yeah. Now, we're in December. I'm using that as my excuse at the minute, that it's coming to Christmas and there's wee treats arriving here, there and everywhere.
Yep.
And we all treat ourselves now and again. And that's okay.
Yes.
It is okay, but it's not overindulging. Mm-hmm. And it's making sure we have a good balanced diet and you're getting plenty of fruit and veg and fibre into your diet and eating a good balance and getting plenty of fluids. We should be drinking 1.5 to 2 litres of fluid a day. So that's the equivalent of 6 to 8 mugfuls of fluid in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that fluid should be what we call plain fluids. So not so much of your tea and coffee or caffeine drinks, you know, like your energy drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much fizzy drinks,
yep.
Or hot chocolate, sweet drinks, but sticking to plain fluids. So water, diluted juice, mm-hmm. milk, or decaffeinated drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And provided you're getting a good amount in, that helps to calm the bladder down. It's making your kidneys and your bladder work, but it's also preventing it from becoming irritated by the irritants in the foods and fluids that we drink. So that's the second sort of thing, keeping an eye on diet and fluids. Third thing would be managing your weight. Mm-hmm. Do you know, a lot of us have weight issues and it goes up and down, but using physical activity and your diet and trying to keep the weight at a manageable level and trying, if you can, even just trying to ease a little bit off. It's wee small steps. It's not big amounts and crash diets because they never work and it all goes back on again.
Yeah.
But it's trying to keep your weight in tune. Taking time out and de-stressing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and whatever that means. For some people, it's mindfulness, it's yoga. For me, it's my 80s music mm-hmm. or whatever it means to be going out and exercising. But taking time out and time away from the stressors in life. So those are lots of things that people can do, as well as pelvic floor muscle exercises. So those are the muscles that are down at the base of your pelvis. So they attach from your pubic bone and they go round to your tailbone and the bottom of the spine and then the side walls. And every man should be doing their pelvic floor regardless of whether they have problems or not.
Mm-hmm.
And how you would do them, if say for example you're sitting now,
yes,
you imagine you're tightening in down below as if you're pulling in at your back passage
mm-hmm.
and trying to stop wind
yep.
or something coming out, trying to hold that back.
Mm-hmm.
Then imagine the area in front of that, between the back passage and your testicles. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting on the chair and there's pins coming up through the chair as if they're going to jag you in that area down below. And I'm telling you, you're not allowed to stand up. So what you want to do is lift that area of muscle up and away from the pins.
Yep, that's what I'm doing. As I said here, yep.
And then think about the frontal region. So imagine you're dying for a pee and you can't get access to the toilet and you're trying to hold it back. Mm-hmm. So you're working back, middle and front and you're pulling everything up and in.
Yes.
But what you don't want to do is clench your other muscles. So you're not squeezing your bum cheeks tight.
I see, that's what I was doing.
Maybe you need to come for a wee visit, Paul.
Yes, I was caught out there.
No squeezing of the bum cheeks. Okay. No sucking the tummy in.
Yes.
No holding your breath or tightening your legs. You want to be sitting really still, and no one should really know you're doing these. Mm-hmm. It's just you might get a little bit of movement at the penis and the testicles. Sometimes they will move a little bit, but try not to move the other body muscles.
Okay.
Just focus in that private region.
Mm-hmm.
And put in. And it's a little gentle squeeze, if you like a little tightening in. And if you can feel that, then we say, right, practice some fast squeezes and some slow holds. So fast squeeze, you'd be pulling in, letting go, pulling in, letting go, pulling in, letting go. And you do repetitions of that, maybe, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, that sort of number.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would practice some slow holds. So you squeeze in down below and you see, rather than letting it go, you see if you can hold it in for anything up to 10 seconds and then rest. Mm-hmm. Give yourself a wee break for 5 seconds or so, and then how many repetitions can you do of those slow ones? Up to, say, about 10.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting better. I'm getting better there. I was doing that now, no messing about. So that was good.
They are tricky to do. And it's,
it
is trying to remember. So if you think you've got the right technique, we say, right, practice that maybe 2 or 3 times every day, a mixture of the fast and the slow. If you're struggling with it a bit, maybe try a different position. Sit slouched on the sofa, or sit upright, or lean forward slightly, or maybe go and lie on your side or on your back on the bed. And is it easier to do in that position?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's finding a different position that works a bit easier, that you can feel that muscle, and then it's getting into the habit of doing that regularly. There's a little app. Some people love apps and gadgets and things. So some people download an app that reminds you. There's one called Squeezy. I don't get any commission from mentioning that name, so there are others there. Some people like something to remind them. Other people just tie an elastic band around their steering wheel, and every time they're in the car, they're thinking, what's that there for? Oh, yes, that's to remind me to do my exercises. So pelvic floor can work really well, but sometimes men aren't doing it right.
Yeah.
And they think they are, and they're not. And if you're not doing it correctly, then you'll never progress.
Yes.
And that's where I'm available. You know, men can get referred in to come and see me to help work on that muscle.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose that's my next question, if you want. How do guys get to you or get referred into you?
We, within Belfast Trust, we don't have a self-referral system, so you need to get a referral. And that would generally be via your GP.
Yes.
Or if you're involved, if you're within the hospital under any nurse or consultant within the hospital, they can refer you in. So if you're already being investigated for something, they can refer you in to the pelvic health service within physiotherapy, or, as I say, via your GP.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Now, we're getting close to our time, so I've got just a few more questions, and this one, I suppose, is how do you look after your own health and your own physical and mental health?
Okay. Well, I think, I don't know whether I mentioned earlier, I have a mad chocolate Labrador who needs a lot of exercise.
Okay.
So, and no one else in my house seems to do that job, so I've taken it on. And I make myself get up, because I've been one of those people as well that you give all the excuses not to exercise. And by the time the evening comes in, it's dark, it's wet, and you don't want to go out. So I just make myself get up an extra sort of 30 minutes or so earlier in the morning, and I go running. I do about 2-2.5 miles every workday with Lovely. The dog in the morning.
Excellent.
And then at weekends, I would go for a good walk with them, or maybe go with a friend and go for a bit of a hike. Mm-hmm. I also chill out I now take the train to work, actually. And over the last couple of years, I've just found traffic a nightmare, and parking a nightmare. So I now commute via train into work, and it's fantastic. I must say, I really enjoy it. It gives me that time to read. I love crime and thrillers, and the gorier the better. But I loved indulging a bit of that on the train on the way in, or sometimes listen to some podcast myself or some music.
Yeah. Well, you listen to this one now.
I do, I will.
Listen to it, and you can hear yourself talking back. Well,
definitely.
We're getting...
And in the warmer months, I do a bit of mono skiing. So it's like water skiing, but it's on one ski. I do some water sports and things like that in the summer months.
Wow. So, that is a lot. Yeah. Fair play. That's class. Just one other thing now, because I do the park runs, and they're on a Saturday. Half nine every Saturday, you should check that out if you're running. That's 5K, yeah. Which is very close to 3 miles.
I've done lots of those as well, and they're a brilliant way to get into exercise.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay, we're down to our last question, and we ask all our guest speakers this lighthearted question, and you're not allowed to say you're in this, which is your dream job. If you won the lottery, or if I could have a magic wand and say, what's your dream job? Well, what is your dream job?
Goodness. Obviously, everyone wants to work less hours and still get paid, or paid more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had a think about this, and I thought, do you know where I'd love to work? I don't know whether anyone watches Noel Fitzpatrick, you know, the super vet.
Mm-hmm. I do, yep.
I would love to work in that clinic. I think it would be a joy to work with dogs in particular. I'm a big fan of dogs.
Yes.
And I sort of think that must be the most rewarding job. Obviously very sad at times, but a really rewarding job. So I would quite like to go and work in his clinic.
Work where Noel Fitzpatrick, and I think his practice is called Fitzpatrick's. Yeah,
I think he's south of England somewhere.
Yeah.
He's an Irish guy.
Oh, yes, no, he exactly. Because I think that we have a wee dog, a wee collie, who has, he's 3.5 legs. He's a wee rescue dog. And he was born with 4 legs, but he was on a farm. And anyway, he ended up with 3.5 legs. I think the other dogs were so hungry that our vet said that he was basically the at half of his wee leg. So when we got him, and he grew up, he had 3.5 legs, and the vet says, "Look, Paul, we're going to have to take the remainder of that leg off. It's a well being issue. The dog needs it off." So I thought, you know what? And my daughter wrote to Fitzpatrick, but I don't think we got a reply, because I thought, you know what? We'll get him a magic leg. We'll get an extension onto that leg.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is, it's off, and I'll tell you, he's a new dog. Absolutely. Brilliant.
Well, don't they?
Oh, unbelievable. He's 3 legs, he's a flying machine.
It shows you, disability isn't any excuse. You can still get out there and do so much.
Without a doubt. And he is like every other dog. About when you pull the lead out, he jumps about and wants out.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Loves it. Okay, Tamara, I have to say that time has flown past, and thanks very much for agreeing to join us.
You're very welcome.
That has been brilliant and educational, and I've absolutely no doubt that any of the guys listening to this who don't already know about pelvic health, well, they will after this. Absolutely. And again, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. Bye. Thank you now. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.